program. The views and opinions expressed are those of the program sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Spirit 1400 and its management.
Hi, and welcome to the Truth and Love broadcast brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets in Glen Burnie. This is a question and answer show, and we want to hear from you today. It's a live broadcast on this nice Saturday afternoon, and we hope you're going to join with us so that we all can learn something, and that is learn from God's Word. What this show is about is to discuss what you want to talk about regarding a religious issue. And we're going to come right from God's Word. We're going to try to give you a book, chapter, and verse to hopefully answer your question or settle an argument or give you insight into what you've been struggling with as a Christian. Or if you're thinking about becoming a Christian and you want to know more, give us a call to the station. The number here, 410-481-1400. Lines are open, of course, as we start the show, and I want to encourage our listeners out there, call in early. Sometimes you might get shut out toward the end of the show. We'll get on a topic that a lot of people want to chime in on, and we love when that happens. We encourage you to call in early so that doesn't happen to you. And when you call in, you can have your question written down, and we'll read it back over the air and try to get to it. But what we really like is when you remain on the line, we'll pick you up over the air and converse with you to try to get to the heart of the matter. Again, this is a show and a resource for you to answer questions as you may have been struggling in your faith, or you've had an argument, or you're just wondering, why are these people doing this? As far as a practice, something in worship, something your preacher said, something your minister is doing, something your church does or attends to, we want to show you what does God say about it, because we know that oftentimes people miss the mark. They are not pleasing God with what they do in their service, or you just may not question, why do we do such a thing? And you want to know why. We're going to try to show you from God's Word whether it's right or wrong, or whether it's most appropriate or not. Again, the number to call, 410-481-1400. If you're curious about meeting with a group of Christians that want to follow what God says and how we worship and how we act, well, you can come join with us at the Glen Burnie Church of Christ. That's 2 Eastern Street in Glen Burnie. We meet on Sunday, the first day of the week, as the early Christians did, and we convene at 9:30 for Bible classes, at 10:30 for a worship service. And again, if you can't make it Sunday morning, come join with us 6 p.m. Sunday night for the worship service. And if you're looking for another way to study the Bible, we get together again on Wednesday evening and have Bible classes for all ages. We'd love to see you. And it's always encouraging when someone comes in to visit with us on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, and they said, you know what, I was listening to your radio show, and I just wanted to visit and say hello to everybody and to attend services with you all. I love hearing that, and we want to encourage you to visit with us if you can.
And we also have Bible correspondence courses available for you to study the Word of God. You can call us right now at 410-761-3795. There's an operator standing by right now who will be happy to take your request for Bible study on the question of your choice. And most of your questions, we have Bible studies on them, because these questions tend to get repeated over and over. We'd also like to point out that the number here is 410-481-1400. But if you're having trouble listening to us on this program, this is not a very strong station, and we know that, but they're on the web. So all you have to do, if you have the internet in your home, and most folks do, then go to your computer, or you can even do this on an iPhone if you have one of those and you have the web there. What you have to do is just go to our website, and right up there in the upper right-hand corner, there's a link, so that all you have to do is click on that, and it'll allow you to listen to this so that you can listen to it wherever you are. It's a wonderful thing. We had a fellow for many years who would listen to us on his phone. He said that was the only way he could get us where he lived. If he was out driving in town, well, he said then he could pick us up, but at his house he couldn't. So that's a good way to get to us. Our website is www.gbchurchofchrist.com. And Like I say, it's right up there in the right-hand corner, and you can click on that. But you can also click on that media button that's there, and it will take you down to Bible class materials and correspondence courses, and you can download those yourself. There are some Bible class materials, studies of things like Ephesians and Philippians, and if you would like to study those, all they are is just outlines with some questions so that you can use them regardless of what your beliefs are. As long as you want to study the Bible, you can use those for a Bible study in your home with your friends. And we'd be happy to have you do that. There are correspondence courses on a large number of different questions, and we would encourage you to make those available to you because you need to know the Word of God. After all, if He created heavens and earth, and He is going to be the judge of us all, don't you think you really ought to know how He's going to judge us? You know, it's sort of like knowing what the rules are. There are a lot of people say, well, I didn't know that was a rule. Well, there are a lot of rules that people don't follow today. One of the biggest ones that I know of is on the question of morality. People say, well, you know, I think that all these things, you people are just going too far. Young people just like to do these things, and we shouldn't tell them that they shouldn't. They need to experiment so that they can find out what the other sex is like. And the truth of the matter is that you can get into immorality in a real big hurry like that. And I know that a lot of this is not being taught in the home. The reason I know that is because there's so many unwed mothers. Are there so many people living together? I saw the other day a famous person had a child, and her fiancé was very concerned about her. Well, I guess he ought to be. He's not going to marry the girl. That's what he's saying. No, I don't want to marry you. I just want to have my fun, and then you can have the baby. And sometimes they stay, and sometimes they don't. But children need role models. They need people to show them how they're to live. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the fathers are told that they're to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, you need to know what it is, because if you don't know what it is, you can't raise them that way. So if you want to be a father, think about your children. Do you love them at all? If you do, you're going to want to be putting some moral values into them. And if you're an atheist, you may say, well, I don't like all those moral values. Did you know that's a real good question? We had a couple of lessons a few weeks ago that I preached on that. There, one of them is already on the website. But as you think about, why does it matter if you believe that there's a God when, just look at all these atheists. They're pretty nice people, for the most part. Well, they may go off. I had one fellow that I knew real well. I worked with him. He was an atheist top to bottom. But he had a thing about not stealing money. He'd steal your wife if he possibly could. I mean, he just loved stealing wives. But he didn't want to steal money. He said, you could leave that money. Wouldn't matter how much it was laying in front of me all day. And I wouldn't take it. But on the other hand, if you left your wife or daughter or you just name it, he was more than happy to take her, use her, and throw her away. That was his habit. Well, if you start thinking about it, if you don't teach your children that's wrong when they're young, they're going to be hard to convince that it's wrong when they get up to be in their teenage years. And so we need to teach the little children. You know, in Matthew 18, Jesus said, the disciples were trying to get the children away. And he said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I still remember one of the producers that we had on a radio program. This was at another station years ago. And she said, well, you know kids are born with original sin. I said, why is that? She said, look at them. They're just mean as little devils. And I said, no, ma'am, that's what you have done to them. She said, what do you mean? I said, you're the one who taught them to do those things and didn't discourage them. You didn't discipline your children. You know, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we have a comment about the kind of fathers that we ought to be. And down here at verse 7, it says, "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Okay. Now, a lot of you guys out there that are running around saying, "Well, yeah, I've got a lot of sons. No, I don't care what they do." You're not a father. That's what the Bible says. You're not being a father to them. You're treating them like they were illegitimate children. Well, they may be. I've heard of political figures who grew up and finally realized what they'd done with all their children. They started trying to be a father. A lot of those children didn't want to have anything to do with them. Where were you when I was young and I needed you so much? As we continue reading then, he says, "But if you were without discipline, of which all have been become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and lived? For they disciplined us," that's our earthly fathers, "for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he," that is God, "disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." You ever wonder why we have all these problems? There are a whole lot of people who are wondering, well, why do they get so many problems? And you don't have to be in Houston or Jacksonville or Chiapas to wonder why the Lord is disciplining you like that. There are times in your life here when there are trials and tribulations that come upon you, and you may say, "Why is God doing this to me?" God is trying to get your attention. You know, that's what those things are given for, to get your attention, to make sure that you're on the right path, and you need to straighten up. By the way, the number here is 410-481-1400. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, you can give us a call right here at 410-481-1400. To enroll in a Bible correspondence course, call 410-761-3795. We had a call last week, and the caller called and didn't want to talk. Said, "What's the use?" You know, there is a real reason for us to study the Scriptures. You know, the psalmist said that iron strikes iron. You know, what you have is you increase your sharpness when you compete with someone who has a knowledge of the Word of God. And so we're especially pleased when ministers call in. There are a tremendous number of ministers out there that just believe we're just as wrong as can be, and a large number of you listeners. And then there are other listeners who say, "No, you guys got it right." Well, the question is, how do we know we have it right if we don't discuss it? If we don't sit down, you know, there are people who can read two verses of Scripture and come up with a completely different answer. And one of the best examples, I remember a girl from my college days said, "You can prove anything you want by the Bible." I said, "You cannot." She said, "Yes, you can." She said, "Don't you know you're not supposed to cut down trees?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You know in Matthew 19 that Jesus said, 'What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder.'" And I said, "He wasn't talking about trees." She said, "See, I told you could prove anything you wanted to by the Bible. If you misuse it," and that's what she was doing. She was misusing it to prove a point in which she was wrong. Have you ever thought about truth? Do you realize that if there is no such thing as absolute truth, then the word truth is an oxymoron because it doesn't mean anything? Is truth what you think it is or what I think it is? And when you think about truth, do you realize that, well, who is going to be the one who determines what truth is? You know, in John 17:17, Jesus prayed and he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." There are a lot of you out there who don't believe it. For instance, if we go to Acts 2:38, which we do a lot, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." And we say, "Do you know that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins?" There's millions of people who say, "That's not right. Why do they think that?" Well, somebody explained to them that, well, that verse doesn't mean what you think it does. And so if we go over to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, where Ananias came to Saul and said, What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's the NIV quotation. King James says, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And people say, well, surely that doesn't mean that baptism washes away sins. Surely it does. Why would you think differently? Because your denomination tells you so? And you say, well, my denomination are millions stronger than yours. What difference does that make? The question is, what does God say? What is truth? Do you want to have absolute truth of the Bible? Or you just want to make it up and say, well, whatever my preacher preaches, that's the truth. Well, then you go to his church and you look to him for the day of on the day of salvation for your salvation, but he's the wrong person to look to because he may not know where it is.
You know, I was at the supermarket a little bit ago up on Route 40, and I ran into a sister there who told me she had fallen away from the worship service, and the reason she had fallen away is because of what the congregation had begun, had become. And the conversation got around to the preacher, who is the cause of a lot of the problems, not 100%, but a part of it. And she asked me, how was he hired? And I told her, I said, you were there. She said, well, no, I wasn't. A lot of things were done without my knowledge. And I pointed out to her, I said, well, the brethren that were given the authority to hire him were chosen wrong. I said, now, it started off altogether wrong, and when you start off something wrong, if it's not corrected, then what you're going to get is a complete wrong. And I pointed out what she wanted to know, what the qualifications of a preacher were, that there are no qualifications. The only qualification that I can come up with is 2 Timothy. I didn't tell her this at that time because I didn't have my Bible with me. It says 2 Timothy 2. In verse 2, Paul wrote to Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. The men must be faithful. And at that particular time, this man was hired. We didn't use the Bible. First Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is sure. We did not use the Bible at all, and when there was an attempt to use the Bible, it was shut down. 1 John 4:1, if we'd have used that, if the congregation had used that, it would have been, I believe, in pretty good shape. It said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see whether it is of God. Anybody, any Christian that does not want to be tried, should ring bells in your head. I mean, all sorts of alarms should go off in your head. But believe it or not, a lot of men did not want to, a lot of people in the congregation did not want to try the Spirit. So this is what they've gotten. They've gone so far afield that they don't know that they're wrong. They think everyone else is wrong. And I'm saddened by this, sister's falling away because she was a good person and she thought that she was just going along with the program until it became obvious to her that something was amiss. And so instead of trying to correct her spiritual life, she has fallen away. And is coming upon people like me when we see her to try to lead her back to that congregation, but to worshiping God in spirit and truth, right, to the Lord. And it's coming upon us. But I know it's going to be a difficult task because a lot of the people that she comes in contact with are not sound people.
You know, it's unfortunate mm-hmm. that was her response. And let's remind our callers, if you have a question or comment, 410-481-1400. That her response was to fall away because she recognized something that even the leaders of the church didn't recognize, that they weren't following the word. Maybe they did recognize it and they rejected it. So exactly. Her response was to separate herself from people that want to follow other men in a man's church, really, or something created by man. not a church approved by God. So the response is unfortunately not to fall away, but to look for those people that want to gather in God's name and want to be corrected by God's word and want to please God by following what he says to do.
Amen.
We want to encourage that sister to look for a group. Come meet with us. Or keep searching, yes.
And always question.
Yeah, because your eternity is in jeopardy. And in the church is so important. We know Christ died for the church, and we want you to be part of a living and active church that wants to please God. So, you know, if you see the same thing in your church out there, and you're bringing issues that you question, or you're bringing scripture to those leaders of the church, and they want to reject that outright, that should definitely tell you something about the leadership of that church, that they're not pleasing God, they're not following God, they want to create they have an agenda that's other than a godly agenda.
The noble way, from Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they searched the scriptures daily to see that the things that were said were so. If you're going somewhere and the things that are said are not so, hey, find another one. It's time to start looking, because you want to be right with God. The number here is 410-481-1400. I had a caller that said she can't believe folks don't believe in Jesus because of the written terms B.C. and A.D. have been replaced with B.C.E., and the other term is CE. But, you know, that's one good way. If you want to get rid of the Jehovah's Witness callers in a big hurry, you can just look at them and say, when they say, well, we're Jehovah's Witnesses, you say, oh, I'm a Christian. And they'll say, oh, we're Christian too. You can look at them and say, no, you aren't. Your Bible has in it common era and before the common era. You guys don't believe in Christ. And they don't. They don't believe in the Word of God. They've got their own book. But why are B.C. and A.D., why have they been replaced? Because so many people have become atheists in this country. It used to be that people were pretty religious, and they all agreed that there was one God. Well, we've had a huge influx of people who don't believe in God at all, and people who believe in Allah rather than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not the same. They're not even close. They may use the same term, but it's not. They're not the same God. So B.C., always before Christ, and then A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. And very often I'll tell people, oh, what are you doing? You're being an atheist. And that's what it is. I tell Jehovah's Witnesses, said, oh, you just side with the atheists on this. You don't want to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord, and so as a result, you side with the atheists. And atheists and agnostics are doing this, and by the way, they're pushing real hard. I trained as a scientist many years ago, and I still take a bunch of scientific journals, and I was reading a comment by one professor of ecology and evolutionary biology. And I thought, what a mixed up mess. But he was real famous, and so he got to write in this journal. And this, what this journal did is they said, well, what we have here is we have a situation in which we're going to let him put this in here. He said, you know, our children's future is being destroyed because they're not teaching evolution. I don't know what evolution ever did that we're going to find anything in science that's based on evolution. Anthropology, but that's not really science. That's just going around digging up a bunch of bones and then speculating about what they did. Now, the bones are there, and they may be able to date those bones now, but then they sit around and they'll look at this and say, well, this must mean, you know, I went to school with those guys. They had the most fertile imaginations you can imagine. I mean, they dream up all kinds of things. I even had a student of mine one time. We found it's a scientific thing, but we found a site in the jellyfish venom that was the same site in a bee venom. And this kid wanted to put into this paper that we were writing, this is a conserved evolutionary site. And I told the head guy, I said, you can either take my name off or take that stupid statement out. He said, what do you mean? I said, that's as stupid as anything I saw. The fact that something gets used twice doesn't mean that it's a conserved evolutionary site. There's no indication anywhere to indicate that jellyfish and wasps evolved from the same creatures. And he looked at me and I said, take my name off. He said, okay, we'll take it out. Okay. So I won that argument. But this guy's saying, you know, there are scientists who are being won over by this creation science. I will tell you that I fully believe that God directed the creation of everything that we have. You know, there's a guy named Francis Collins down at NIH, a director, and he's a Christian, but he's an evolutionist. He believes that God started it and then let everything evolve. And the answer that I come up with is it's so complex that if he started it and let it evolve, it'd be a huge mess. Because I've seen what happens when things are randomly tossed together. I've had students do it in a science classroom, and one student came in and he said, I like to go in and just mix things. And I said, what are you going to get when you do that? He said, well, it always turns sort of brown. I said, well, there's a reason for that. It's just all a mess in there. You haven't made anything. You're not going to get a nice white crystalline powder out of putting all those things together unless you do it with purpose. You have to do it intelligently. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to our God. Don't you for a moment think that it could just happen. There hasn't been enough time, no matter who was talking about it. In fact, they were just talking about the split. I was reading an article today. The split between man and apes came between 7 and 13 million years ago. And as I look at that, I sit there and I say, well, you know, it's obvious that we're not apes. Because we can do a lot of things that they didn't. Somehow, things got changed. They said, oh, it was just a fortuitous circumstance. How many fortuitous circumstances did it take for me to be able to speak to you so that you can hear? Now, you're hearing me over a... This is a pretty amazing place. We're sitting in this studio, and he's got this board, and all the lights are blinking, and they're all lit up, and he's got buttons to push, and they don't like us pushing the buttons. They've got a trained guy here to push the buttons. And the reason that they trained somebody at one station we were at years ago, Nick said, I got to learn how to do this. That guy's going to sleep over there. So we learn how to push the buttons, too. But the reason they don't want us doing this, they said, well, wait a minute. You could take us off the air. Oh, but wouldn't we improve things if we just pushed those buttons randomly? Dwayne's sitting over there saying, they'd fire me if they pushed those buttons randomly. You know, somebody has to take leave of their senses or believe in a different theology. And that's what evolution science is.
But wait a minute, Gary. Didn't we have some politicians evolved into believing that homosexuality was created by God?
They changed their minds about that. And you know the reason they did it? They thought it would get them more votes. And that those people wouldn't write as much. Now the people have found out, you know... I was watching one of my relatives trying to train a dog not to come into the garage. And she was going out there and she was saying, well, shoo, shoo, real nice like. And then she'd go out there and she'd give a dog a treat. I said, you know what you just trained that dog to do? She said, what? I said, come into the garage, because when you got him out, he got a treat. And she said, but I said, you need to understand that if you give people what they want, they'll just keep coming back as long as they can get more food or money. Why do you think those people are doing those things? They want things run their way. And you talk about, well, a democracy is the best way to run a country. I don't understand that. I think a democracy is the best way to run a country where everyone is a believer in God, or the majority are believers in God, and the rules of right and wrong. But if you get into a country where everybody believes that they can do evil, let's just take the democracy that elected Adolf Hitler. I don't think they were doing a very good job. Why not? Well, they wanted to put a bunch of people to death because that's how he got elected. He got in there on that kind of program, and they had given up their faith in God. Without a faith in God, democracy doesn't do you any good at all. It just pits who can get the most people on their side by giving the most away. Well, as you think about that, you say, well, there are a lot of people who wanted to. They were so thrilled when they saw democracy taking over northern Africa. Everybody, oh, it's an agent of enlightenment over there. How did that work out for them? Well, they're still shooting and killing each other over there, trying to say who's going to be the guy with the most votes, and he's the guy who gives them the most and has the most guns to shoot the others. They keep doing that, don't they? And you say, well, yeah, democracy doesn't seem to be working out so well for them. Think about Venezuela right now. Got the same problem right there. You got a bunch of people saying, well, we want you to give it all away to us, and they were at one time the richest country in South America, and now look where they are. We need to turn back to the Bible. We need to start doing Bible things in Bible ways. We need to have a concern for others. But most of all, we need morals. We need to establish, you know, as we start looking at these moral things, let's go over to Galatians chapter 5, and I want to read to you some things that are fruits of the Spirit and some things that are fruits of evil. It says at verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. Why is it that people think that, well, if we pay these people who have these babies, maybe they'll quit having them? That's the same as teaching that dog you get a treat if you go outside. I feel sorry for those babies because they don't have fathers. And we know that without fathers, they're going to grow up, they're going to do the same thing. Notice again, impurity, sensuality. You know, I watch television and some shows, and, you know, it's amazing the amount of sensuality. The King James right there, I believe, says concupiscence. Is that what that word is there in 5:19?
Lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness, okay. And so you think about lasciviousness, and you ask a kid, well, you know, that's real lascivious, and they look at you like, what's that word mean? And even sensuality here, you know, it's sort of, hey, this is orgy parties. It's dressing so that somebody wants you sexually. And you start looking, well, I've been looking at one show, and it's, you know, I really like the thing, but the host of the thing is a woman. And she is intentionally trying to see how much she can display without displaying ultimately everything, without going on that stage naked. She's doing everything she can for that. And that's sensuality. What she's trying to do, and everybody looks at her, and, you know, they look at her and say, whoa, does that woman realize how beautiful she is? Well, of course she does. That's why she's trying to get all those men to stare at her. And, you know, the kids think, the girls especially think, well, that's the way we ought to dress. And you ask yourself, is this how you want your daughter dressing when she goes out on a date? Not if you're moral. But he goes on to talk about outbursts of anger. Boy, have we ever seen that lately. We've got two groups of people out there, and some of them are, well, they call them skinheads, and the other ones, I guess, I call Antifa. And boy, they are out there having fun breaking heads. Outbursts of anger. You'll see that, and you know, it makes you wonder why someone wants to be a policeman these days, because if they break it up for either side, they're wrong. And then they've got things like idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. We had a brother in Christ. He said when he was in high school, he had been brought up by parents who were atheists, and he was an atheist. And he said he went out on a date with a girl and said they were sitting around, they were playing this game, and they were drinking. And he said he got so drunk that he threw up in his date's lap. Mm-hmm. And I thought, he said, can you believe I thought that was funny at the time? He said, I'm so ashamed now. That's what happens. We see that all the time. You can see it. It's just a matter of, kids go off to college, and what do? They need to have a father and a mother who will tell them, hey, you go off and do that, and you're not going to have any money to go to school the next semester. You can go get a job. But notice here at verse 21, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, this is what we're to be. Now, I want you all to consider, why do atheists behave with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness? Is it not because they have seen it in others and they say, that is a good person? The difference between good and evil is pretty clear to us if we study the Bible. If we have our children study the Bible, you know, children learn things at an early age. We have classes for children down at the Glen Burnie Church of Christ of all ages. And, you know, Nick has a little boy in the class that I have a little granddaughter in. And those kids follow each other. They all ran to see someone that they love come in the door. And they said, well, and little George is not related to her. You know, he's only about 15 months old or 16 or 17, something like that, 18. But he knew that the rest of those little kids were running over there, so he went running over there too. That's training. We need to train our children. We need to train them to love and be kind to one another, to experience joy and peace and patience. The number here is 410-481-1400. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you might want to take the side of the atheist. I hope not. But have you ever thought about, is there a God and why we should behave? Why we should be moral people? Why our children should be moral and should be taught morality? You know, if you don't establish their desire to do good and be kind by the time they're 2 years old, there's enough set in their little minds that they can turn out really bad. You've all seen it. You've seen it in children. You need right now to get control of the children and the grandchildren and say, we're going to follow God and His way. We don't want evil in this house.
You know, whenever I'm in a conversation with someone concerning God's word and they are defending denominationalism, I do not hesitate to tell them that they are antichrist, and they wonder why that I say this. Well, I say this because Christ said it in Matthew 12:30. Said, he that is not with me is against me, and amen. They say, well, I believe. Yeah, well, you can believe. The devil's believed also. And he says in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? If you are for Christ, you are going to do the things that he says. And everything that he tells us to do in order to please him are plain and simple. He doesn't tell us to do anything that's complicated. We don't have to wear expensive clothes and drive expensive automobiles to come to worship service. He just wants us to come to worship service. And we do not have to participate in dinners that a lot of congregations give in order to draw people there. And Gary was right. Whenever you do something like that to draw people, you have to continue to do things like that. I was a member of a congregation once. And I'm talking about a Lord's church, where every Sunday morning they had coffee and donuts. And the people were coming for the coffee and the donuts because they were too lazy to get up early to cook their own breakfast.
You know, if Dunkin' Donuts gave those things away, they'd go broke. Everybody would be down there.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think we have a National Donut Day now where the Dunkin' Donuts were giving away donuts, but they wanted you to buy the coffee. If you don't do what Christ says, to me, you are against Christ. And if you are afraid of your leaders, again, you are antichrist, because fear is a sin. You are not, and I've always felt this way. If someone has the courage to say something stupid or do something wrong with me, I should have the courage to do something back to them as far as correcting them. And a lot of these church leaders, they count on you being afraid to speak up. You know, and a lot of times you can't speak up because you don't know what to say. And the reason you don't know what to say is because you do not study the word as you should have. You can't say anything if you don't have anything to say.
By the way, you can enroll in a Bible correspondence course by calling 410-761-3795. Do you wonder about tithing? Preacher said something about tithing? Get our correspondence course on tithing. Preacher say something about the Holy Spirit? We need to understand we have Bible correspondence course on the Holy Spirit. Give us a call, 410-761-3795. And if you have a question or comment about a religious matter, give us a call here at the station, 410-481-1400.
You know, I see this this change to go from B.C. and A.D. to B.C.E. just a trend in society to be somewhat anti-Christian. And what it really is just absurd political correctness. And a lot of people are adopting this now because they don't want to offend anti-Christian people. And speaking up, like you said, Larry, we do need to speak up in things like that because we have a voice. But when you don't, these things change in society. And we're going to see it time and time again. We're going to see it continue. But we do need to speak up when we can, and to follow what God says. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. We see them speaking up and going against what society says or what the government says or what the powers that be say oftentimes. Because what do they say? We're going to follow God, not
Amen.
These men.
The number to call is 410-481-1400, and we have Jean on the line.
Yes, hi. I have a couple comments to make. Sometimes when we speak up, people really want you to shut up.
Well,
but
that's
anyway,
true. You know,
I heard your
Jesus
comment
got
about,
killed for what he did.
What's that?
Jesus got killed for what he did, and so did the rest of the apostles. All except John died violent deaths, except for John the apostle.
I know. Well, I'm a speaker upper, and I get in trouble sometimes for it, but I don't care. I heard your comment about the donuts and coffee, and yeah, at my previous congregation, they started doing that, and my parents were very much against that, did not join in that. They thought that was wrong, and they spoke out against it, but when you get older, people tend to just push you aside and not listen to your scriptural reason for not wanting that. I have a question. I work in a law firm, and I've been called indirectly a racist. And it started out with a conversation about Colin Kaepernick, and this person who's a member of the Church of God, and I may search that out some to see what they actually believe, because this woman calls herself a Christian. She gave me a speech about slavery one day, and that slavery...
Do you think that slavery's wrong?
Well, let me finish.
Of course.
She said that... She said that, you know, the Star Spangled Banner and all that. And all I said to her was, I said to her, it was horrible what happened, and it wasn't your sin, and it's not my sin, but you need to let it go. And I thought later that maybe I should have said, why don't you read the book of Philemon in the New Testament. Sometimes, quite frankly, I don't think she knows the Bible at all. So that's my question. And I'm going to hang up.
Wait a minute. What is your question?
I've got it.
Oh, you got it?
Okay. Thank you for the call, Gene.
Thank you.
You know, the Book of Philemon is a very interesting thing. It's written to a man who owned a slave named Onesimus. And Onesimus ran away. And while he was in Rome, well, sure enough, turns out he ran into the Apostle Paul. Paul converted him. He became a very strong Christian. And Paul says, well, you need to go back. And Onesimus says, well, okay. And he goes back, and he carries the letter that tells Philemon, said, hey, if you love him as a brother, as I do, treat him just like you would me. What do you think happened to that man? You know how he loved Philemon, must have loved Paul because he'd converted him too, shown him the way of truth. And as you think about slavery in this country, and it was a terrible blot on this country, but what was it there for? Well, people tried to justify it by the scriptures. You go to the scriptures, you're going to have a hard time justifying that in the New Testament. You're going to find that there's not to be uprisings by slaves, but at the same time, that those who are owners of such are to be kind and gentle. And so if everybody had done what the Bible said, that would have sooner or later come to an end of its own. Well, it would have collapsed of the problems with the economic structure. But as you ask, who stopped this? I'm always reminded of a great movie about the life of William Wilberforce, who was a believer, and he believed very strongly that slavery was wrong. And it turned out that his former pastor had been a slave ship captain, and they have this man as he goes around, and he's cleaning the building, he's doing everything to try to make up. Doesn't understand the Bible completely, but he's trying to do everything he can to make up for what he did for those years he spent in sin. And he wrote the song, Amazing Grace. And, of course, in the movie they have a man sing that song, and it's just absolutely incredible as he stands up and sings it. There are a lot of people in the Parliament who are upset at this man, Wilberforce, because he wants to change society based on what the scriptures have to say. And as you start looking at that, you'll realize that because of the love of mankind that God required, that those who wanted to get rid of slavery are found as believers in Jesus Christ, firm believers in his word. The Catholic Church hadn't done it. Firm believers in his word. Right now, Islam allows slavery, especially of women taken in war. So Boko Haram said, well, we're just doing what we're supposed to when we took those 200 girls. They're evil. There is a difference between the God of heaven and what he has written and what men have done in his name. And so when we start looking at these men who imperfectly understood, they were trying to maintain peace in our time. I'm always reminded of a man named Chamberlain who came back and he said, we have secured peace in our time. He's willing to do anything. It's a policy called appeasement. And he was willing to do anything. Jesus Christ stood up and said, this has got to stop. That's what stopped slavery in this country. It continues today in many countries in Africa. And wherever Islam is found, it continues. And wherever there are people who are not religious at all, they like it too. It's usual sexual slavery. They don't like to keep guys around to work for them because, you know, we've grown up to such a technical world that you need somebody really smart, and if they're really smart to do something and they know how to do something well, they can mess it up and cost you a lot of money. Well, you have to implement great rewards to those who serve faithfully in this present age because of the technology. Slavery falls of its own wherever Christianity is practiced truly. And one of the things that I like about being in this country is there are so many believers. All we want to do is unite completely. All of you who are believers out there, recognize that this program is here not to put down your faith, but to bring us all to one body, to Jesus Christ and him alone. You know, a caller called in and commented that singers like Miley Cyrus turned her lyrics around because maybe she realized she was also hurting herself. And I don't follow Miley. I know that she went off into some really, well, she was a real cute little girl, and then she grew up and wanted to be not a very good person. But if she's turned herself around, I'm sure that one of the reasons she does that is she realized that people who have young children don't want them exposed to things like she was doing. And if she was leading them off, it's time to turn around. It's time for all of us who can shed our light, who can determine what we're going to do, to make it a point to stand up for truth. You know, just like Larry and Nick have been talking about, if you don't stand up, if you just walk away, don't let men make you give up on God. You need to turn around and you need to do God's will. And so as you think about doing God's will, you say, well, there are so many people who don't. In fact, I heard a young woman in class. I teach a high school class, and she was going off to college. And I said, be careful where you're going. There are not many Christians up there. There's a lot of atheists. And she said, well, they're nice people, too. And I said, yes, but consider why they're nice. They're nice because, well, it suits their current thought. But they don't have any basis for it. Where is the basis? If you don't go back to God, if you don't believe that there's an absolute truth and that God is the one who gives us this absolute truth, then you've got a problem in saying why anyone should do anything your way. What makes you think you're right? Who gave you this message? Someone on high? Or do you think you're the one who is on high? That's a real good question. Are you the one who makes all the rules that everybody else should follow?
You know, Gary, it seems to be a theme of the show where we started out, Larry knew a woman who came up against some leaders of her church who weren't doing the right thing, but her response was to turn away and fall away. And it's unfortunate. And we're talking about society changing and all the hurdles that we come up against. And sometimes you can feel overwhelmed with the challenges of just living a Christian life. And sometimes you feel like there's so much hypocrisy out there that you can't win. And you don't have the power to change anything. And that's when we really need to kind of gather ourselves, rely on our prayer life, rely on other Christians that we see are struggling too, to join with and know that, you know, in the end, Christ wins. And we want to be on Christ's side. We don't want to go with the world, which is the easy thing to do, and to just give up on everything. But there are going to be a lot of challenges in this life. But we're talking about salvation. It's important to know that that's for eternity. So we're going to face a lot of challenges in this life. And, you know, and it can come in many forms, not just spiritual, but, you know, whether it's financial or physical or whatever. You just feel like it's too much to handle, but we know it's not with Christ. We know that Christ says, my burden is light. And it may be hard to relate to that, but the more I think we understand that and the more we develop our relationship with Christ, the easier it becomes because we know that we're not of this world. We've sort of gone beyond this world in a sense. And, you know, no matter what the world does, Christ is still with us if we don't give up.
You know, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then would my servants be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But the point that he makes there is we have to live beyond this world. We're lights in the world. We're going to have to show the world the way, every one of us. And we can only do that if we'll all unite on the Scriptures alone. As long as denominationalism divides us, we have a problem. We have a huge problem, and that is somebody isn't following the Word of God.
And you know, Jesus warned the apostles in Matthew 10 and 22. He says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He knew he was letting his apostles know that they were going to face some challenges, some difficult challenges, just by teaching his word. And then in the 34th verse, he said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. What he is telling us is that those who do not want to follow him will be against those who do want to follow him. And this is not only in a man's household, but in the world that we are out in. We are going to run into some hateful people, and not just in denominationalism, which is spawned by the devil, encouraged by the devil, but in the church as well. Just like this sister I ran into today, the congregation she left out of was full of the devil, full of the devil's angels. And instead of her looking to build herself up, she just fell by the wayside. And this is what the devil wants. He wants Jesus to lose people.
In Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 28, Paul tells the leaders of the church at Ephesus, he said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the flock of God." And then he says in the very next verse, "For from among your own selves shall perverse men arise, seeking to draw away the disciples after them."
Amen.
Isn't that ever the way it is? What do we have to do when they do it? We have to identify them, mark them, and get rid of them. Encourage them to straighten up. You know, that's the best thing. What would we like for everyone to do? Straighten up. Do what God says. You know, and by the way, the only way you can do that is put pressure on them. I was looking at the news, and down in Houston, they just had an incredible flood down there. And I hate to think about having 4 feet of water standing around here and what it would do. But this guy named Joel Osteen has got this big mega church. And for quite some time, they weren't going to let anybody in that place because it was on high and dry ground. And they weren't going to let anybody in. And then everybody started talking about, what kind of person is he? Well, in just doing that, you know, just this small amount of pressure, somebody got the message down there, and, "Oh, yes, we meant to say you're all welcome here." Well, they're a bunch of hypocrites, but okay, at least something got changed so that they could do that. And if nobody stands up to them, it'll just go along. Mm-hmm. The leaders can become worse and worse. And now they're even having arguments down there. Well, did Joel Osteen do that, or did the people make him do that who were under him? Say, you know, we're not looking good. We need to look better.
You know, we've got a couple minutes left. 410-481-1400. If you have a comment, we do have another caller with a comment. He said, "Atheists, they're like drug dealers. They give you free stuff with this kindness until they get you hooked. And then the real person comes out."
Amen.
You know, and it's and we can see that with anyone who's got their own personal selfish agenda, and it could be religious leaders, like you said, in the same way. They're going to get what they want. Now, whether they do it with some of the fruits of the Spirit, as we go back to Galatians 5 to start out with, their heart's going to come out. They're going to end up with the acts of the flesh in the end.
You know, man is prone to sin. There is a fleshly nature, and I will tell you that even the strongest men, when they see some of these things, are going to be attracted to them until they start to think about, wait a minute, I have a responsibility before God. We need to do that. We've run out of time. We hope that you'll tune back in next week when we'll be here again with Truth and Love. Until then, we'd like to remind you all to come down and visit with us at the Glen Burnie Church of Christ. Until next week, bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.
WWIN Baltimore.